Okay, welcome. We're going to pray as we start this evening. Father, we just thank you so much that you're here with us and we can meet you. And I pray this evening, as I speak, that you would meet us, Lord, from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. That was written by an author, G.K. Chesterton. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. And the quote reveals a challenge for many people who might be considering following Jesus. You know, maybe some people even here tonight, and you're thinking, you know, I'm at church, and I'm thinking about being a Christian, but I'm challenged by what that might mean. What demands will be made of me by Jesus if I become a Christian? Can I trust God with my life? If I give my life to Jesus, what will that mean? And for some people, it's just too big a thing, and I'm not even going to try it. I'm not even going to go there. Tonight's story from the book of Joshua, and if you've been here at church recent weeks, you know we've been doing a study in this Old Testament book, this great story of Joshua. And tonight we're at perhaps the most famous story in the whole of the book, the Battle of Jericho. I can remember at school and at Sunday school singing a song which went something like this. Jehoshaphat, the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. That's the one. Yeah, you remember that? Used to teach my children when I was teaching music at school in my past life. That was a favorite. You know, we really get that one going. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Israel's first challenge after crossing the River Jordan was to conquer the heavily fortified city of Jericho. Joshua and his people needed huge gifts of faith, and they needed a readiness to trust and obey God. Something at the end of chapter 5, which Ellie preached on wonderfully a few weeks ago, was absolutely crucial in boosting Joshua's faith as the leader of the people of Israel if they were going to win this extraordinary battle. What was that? What was the crucial thing that happened at the end of chapter 5? Well, Connor read it to us this evening. God meets Joshua. God meets Joshua. He makes himself known to him. And that changes everything. Imagine if you suddenly you go out some night into the dark, and standing before you is this huge being with a massive sword. And we often, in the Bible, when there's a sort of angelic visitation, the reaction of people who meet angels is not, you know, one of sort of incredulity necessarily. It's usually that they fall on their face. They are so afraid. Angels are not the sort of characters we imagine, you know, fluffy white beings with funny wings. They're usually huge beings. And often in these encounters, it's God himself who's revealing himself to the person. And that's exactly what happens in this part of the story. And if you were a captain of an army and you met this extraordinary being whom deep in your heart you actually know is God with you, or at least one of his major angels, probably you would ask exactly the same question that Joshua asked. His question was this: are you with us, or are you with our enemies? Who are you for, God? Whose side are you on? And the answer is extraordinary. And this is what convinces Joshua that it is God himself who he has met. He says, neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell down on the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Suddenly Joshua knows this is God, a revelation extraordinarily of God himself. And it's no longer a question of whose side are you on, God?
But Lord, I need you. And my word, I have nothing to say because you've revealed yourself to me tonight. Joshua was before Almighty God.
And just meeting God was enough reassurance for Joshua as he looked about at what was ahead. He knew the next week would bring this battle. They had to somehow defeat and conquer this amazing city, Jericho, with huge walls. But he knew, having met God, that anything was possible. It was like God was reassuring him of his presence and his power to fulfill what he was called to do. He was on holy ground. He could be sure that the Lord who was calling him would be faithful. The battle was God's. The battle was God's. I don't know about you. I mean, if you're a Christian or not a Christian tonight, I wanted to say this. It is possible to meet God, to know him. It's absolutely crucial to encounter Jesus if you're going to keep on walking in the Christian life. God is calling us to come close to him. And when we do that, he will come close to us. Before the Israelites did anything, before Joshua went into battle, it was crucial that he knew the God who was calling him, that he met him personally. And if we go back into the earlier book of Exodus, we see that Joshua loved to spend time with God. He had a heart for God. He was a hero who would lead the armies. And again, he meets God. And he knows that whatever is ahead, it's not too difficult. We've just been at Focus. Focus is a huge conference of about 7,000 people, all camping, in not necessarily the same standard of accommodation, but you know, most of us were in tents or under some sort of canvas. And it's a great week. It's a great week of encouragement, seeing the church on a much bigger sort of scale. One of our highlights last week was having lunch with our friend Sally and her family. And it was a really sort of little impromptu thing. Kate and I decided we'd walk down to where they were, and Flick, her friend, invited us in, and we had some lunch. Sally's got a very special son called Ollie. He's a very, very special boy, and he has Down syndrome. And just as we were about to have lunch, Ollie said, I wanted to say a few things. And he just started to encourage everyone around. It was amazing. He just said to Flick, I want to thank you, Flick, for this week. You've been fantastic. You've loved us. You've cooked for us. It's just been amazing. He turned around to one of her sons, Edward, and just said, and he went around, and every person, he just said a lovely, encouraging thing, completely impromptu. And we were just blown away by the encouragement and kindness of this lovely lad. And he turned to Kate and I, and he just said, Trevor and Kate, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And then we just had lunch. He looked us straight in the eye and said, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And we feel that was the most important word we got all week. And in this story this evening, the significance of this encounter that Joshua has before going into battle is the Lord saying, it's my battle. I'm in control. You can trust me. I wonder, are you facing something big this week or in this next month? Maybe it's a change of school. Maybe it's the thought of a new job. It might be something in your family. Maybe it's a career decision. And it does require faith and trust. And you're not entirely sure where you're going at the moment. You know it's going to require obedience to Jesus. And you know, it maybe is one of those situations which the pastor Francis Chan has often said, you know, if God doesn't turn up in this situation, I'm in trouble. You know, unless the Lord turns up, unless he's at work, I'm really in trouble. I don't know where I'm going to get help otherwise. That, you know, sometimes there are things in life like that, and we're just not sure. Unless God speaks, unless he makes himself known to us,
unless he helps us, we're really not sure what we're going to do. And that was a bit what the Israelites were facing. Their task was huge. I don't know if you know a bit about the story at the end of Exodus and the beginning of Joshua. But the people had heard reports before they crossed amazingly over the River Jordan. They'd heard reports about the promised land. It seemed that some of the scouts who came back said that the enemy's huge. There are these huge cities. The soldiers are bigger. It's just too much. Some of them came back full of doubt and fear. And as a result, many of the people didn't ever enter into the land. But there was a sense of, my goodness, there's a huge task ahead. And now here they were with the first big, big challenge. The River Jordan was behind them, and here was this amazing city, which they knew God had called them to conquer. But God met with Joshua, the leader, and Joshua knew he could trust the Lord in this battle. So, encounters with Jesus, can I encourage you, if there are big things ahead and big decisions to make, steps where you know you're going to have to obey Jesus, give priority to coming close to Jesus. Spend time with him. Remind yourself of his love for you, which he showed most wonderfully on the cross. Take his words, you know, keep spending time with us at church. Pray. But take time to let God meet you. God wants to speak to us. Are we listening? And I think it's when we encounter God that some of those big things in the future, we just then know, do you know, actually, God is bigger than them. He's Almighty God. He made me. He knows me. He gave me breath. He gives me each moment of life that I have. I can trust him with this. And I suppose sometimes just getting to that point where we know God in our heads and in our hearts, God's bigger than the situation. The situation's huge. It's not easy. But I know God is bigger. And I'm going, even though I don't know the answer and I don't know the direction, I'm going into that situation knowing God is able and he is bigger. Then I think obedience to what he wants becomes a lot easier because we have an encounter of his love and his empowering and his peace. But it takes, you know, it's so important that we draw aside and we seek him. This morning we had a word for someone in church, and it might be for this evening again, that if we seek the Lord, we will find him. Joshua spent much of his early life with Moses seeking God in the tent, worshipping, and he found God, and he met him, and he knew him. And as he met him, he was given courage and hope for what was ahead. The second thing, though, in the story that's absolutely key is that people were willing to obey God. They were ready to do whatever God asked. Even the call to conquer the city, they were willing to step forward. And the instructions were not those you would have found in most army manuals. I mean, it's an extraordinary story. So Joshua, his army, priests carrying the Ark of the Lord and the people were to walk around the city for 6 days, once around the city, each day for 6 days. And the seven priests were to sound their horns as they marched. On the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. And on the seventh time, when the priests blew a long blast on their horns, the people were to shout, "For the Lord has given you the city," and the walls would fall down. Now, can you imagine? Those were the instructions given by their leader. Can you imagine if you'd been one of the people and he gave those instructions and he said that last bit? When you do the seventh journey around the walls and you shout that out, the walls will fall. What? Really? Really? Are you sure, Joshua? The wall's going to fall. That's what the Lord has said. The walls will fall. Wow, bit of faith needed there. It's not the logical approach. Some would have said a very, very silly thing indeed.
But Joshua knew God. God had spoken to him. When we read that first bit of chapter 6, God is very clear in speaking to Joshua about what would happen. And he trusted him. And the people trusted their leader. And it happened as God said. And as we read further in chapter 6, only Rahab, who earlier protected the Israelite spies, and her family survived. The story is a story, a lesson in faith and obedience. A faith which is based on deep encounters with God. And from that, then a willingness, a delight to do whatever he wants. The psalmist says this in the most lovely way in Psalm 34. He says, I delight to do your will, O Lord. It's not, all right, Lord, if you must, I will. Okay. And I think a lot of us think of obedience now as a sort of a heavy thing that will steal my joy and steal my opportunities and life will be dull. And no, it's not. When we encounter Jesus, when we allow our priorities and his to line up, doing what he wants becomes delightful. Literally. Becomes a thing of our heart. It's what we want. That doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a life lived, close, and laid out before Jesus. And that was Joshua. Joshua loved to worship. He loved to spend time with his father. And then when he was thrust into the front line, he knew God wouldn't let him down. There are important lessons on understanding how God guides us in this passage. And the most important factor is starting from a place where I'm willing to say, God, my life is in your hands. I want what you want. The challenge is there as one of humility, isn't it? I want what you want. It's not all about me. It's not all about my plans and ambitions. It's about yours for me. I want what you want. I think guidance, understanding the will of God, becomes much easier when we get to that point. I am prepared to submit my life willingly because you're God. You're almighty. You're responsible for my existence. You know the beginning and the end. You know it all. Why should I fight you? You know what's best for me, Lord. You've got purposes, good purposes for me. I'm going to slip into line with those. The problem is ego, isn't it? The problem is me. I want control. I want to do what I want to do. But let me say this. Discerning the will of God becomes much, much easier when, like Mary, somebody else who encountered God in an extraordinary way when she was told about the birth of Jesus, says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. What an amazing response to God's voice, to God speaking. I'm your servant, Lord. Let it happen to me as you've said. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to argue, because that's the best thing of all. To walk in step with the God who knows me and made me. Now, where I want to finish this evening is this. I want to give you a few practical ways in helping you discern whether what you're hearing from God is really from God or not, because I think that's really important. The starting point of the will of God is, I'm happy to do whatever you want, Lord. But what steps help us work out that in our lives? Very quickly. And this, if you've done the Alpha course, you'll be familiar with this, but they're really helpful, helpful tips. And they all begin, the two words begin with CS. The first thing is commanding scripture. If I want to know the will of God, I will take the Bible seriously. God's general will for all people in all places and all circumstances is revealed here in the Bible. In Scripture, God has told us what he thinks about a whole range of issues. And he also speaks specifically to us through the Bible. So the will of God, your anchor for understanding what God is saying, is found here. I encourage you, start reading the Bible. Get a Bible app. There's so many resources. Start understanding who God is. Start hearing how much he loves you. Start seeking his will for your life. The Bible, it's a rich resource in understanding how to live a life that pleases God. The second thing is the compelling work of the Holy Spirit. God is very personal. He loves you. He gives you his Spirit when you become a Christian. He comes to live within us when we put our trust in him. He's not far away. We had a wonderful picture this morning in George's talk about how close God is to us, how he calls us close to him. And that is the truth. He is really close to us. He's always trying to catch your attention. You might think, I don't really quite know why I'm here tonight, or you might think I'm a bit disconnected from God tonight, but God wants to speak to you far more than you want to communicate with him. His compelling Spirit guides us. He helps us along the way through prayer, or through a strong desire to do things, through passion. You know, if there are things that you are passionate about, God will line your passions up with his will. The third thing is the counsel of the saints. When you're trying to work out what God is saying, how to be obedient, don't just do it on your own. Have a relationship with other people. Talk to people you trust and respect. Put your ideas out there. Have the courage to say, what do you think, to somebody else? You know, we all love to have it all tied up. We often think we're just, you know, we've got a hotline to God. And the number of times sometimes people come to me and said, I'm going to do this. And I then say, well, what do you want me to do then? I mean, you've already made your mind up. Why are you here? Instead of, you know, I've got this idea and these things, just what, you know, what do you think? And ultimately, you will make the decision, but it's such a wisdom to talk to others. The counsel of the saints. Common sense. God has given us a mind to think and work things out. He's given you skills and gifts, so he will guide you in very common sense ways at times. And finally, he will use circumstances, signs and situations. Things will open up. I remember David Cook telling us when he came here as curate some, goodness, 10 years ago now. David wasn't the first person we saw when we were interviewing curates. And in fact, the first guy I saw, I can't remember his first name now, but he was very interesting, very guy, ex-army, you know, like Owen. But it was obvious, as the hour or two went on, he wasn't really interested in coming here. And he was very polite and nice, but he told me basically the next day when we spoke, I've got other plans in mind. Thank you very much. Great to meet you. The diocese had pointed in our direction, but he really didn't feel called here. Went home that day. Who was his flatmate? Cookie was his flatmate. And David was also looking for work. But he wasn't in our diocese, so he'd never heard of our church. It was unlikely that he would have, in many ways, ended up in Richmond. He didn't know of me. And this chap just sat down and said, oh, it'd been this great church, all that, but I'm really not feeling called there. And it just sparked Cookie off. And there was a bit of a time lapse. We'd seen somebody else in between. And just before Christmas, I had this message left in my answering machine from a chap called David Cook. Interested in the job, and we'd seen three people at that stage. And as it turned out, that message, I immediately rang him the next week, and he came, and as you know, he was our curate, and he planted a church in Barnes, and the rest is history. But there was just something amazing about the way the circumstances work, and God does have a, you know, Cookie didn't know us, he didn't know anything about us, we weren't in his diocese, but his flatmate had been to see us and just happened to say, I had this great time today, but it's not for me. And the circumstance. And Cookie had been praying separately. He had also been trying other situations that hadn't worked out. One in particular
that he'd really thought might be the job, the vicar said no to him. And then, and just through circumstance, God brought us together. And as a result, because of Cookie's willingness in the process to keep listening to God, and we were doing the same, it's like he brought us together. And it was an amazing time. And out of it, as you know, a church plant in Barnes. And we've seen God bless wonderfully. Circumstances, circumstantial signs. Keep an eye on what God's doing as you pray. The Proverbs, the writer to Proverbs says this, in your heart you may plan your course, but the Lord determines your steps. God loves to guide us. He's got things for you to do. He's got purposes and plans for your lives, good purposes. To build his kingdom, a higher calling, I think, that maybe many of you actually think. A greater impact than you might imagine if you're willing to let God have his way. And it is to saying, Lord, whatever you want, I'm happy to do. And I suppose that's where we come back to at the end of this talk this evening. Joshua worshipped and loved God. He loved time with God. He was a man with a heart for God. And as a result, he's given this extraordinary responsibility. With it comes some fearful battles, but extraordinary evidences of God at work when he obeys God. And it starts from a hunger for God and a willingness to do what he wanted. Obedience becomes a delight, and God guides him and uses him. I want to encourage you tonight, get close to Jesus. Draw near to him and open your heart, give your life to him and watch what he does. Because when you start there, amazing things happen. And although it's not always clear, and there are times when we're praying about the future, you know, it's a bit confusing and some things just don't seem to work out that we think. God is guiding us. He is directing us. He is leading us. And he promises to do that. Let's pray. Well, we thank you for this amazing story this evening of Joshua, this great hero of faith, whose name literally means savior. Whose name mirrors the image of the meaning of the name of Jesus. And Lord, one of the key things for Joshua's fruitfulness was that he loved you. And thank you just for the picture in tonight's story of that encounter with you. You were so good to encounter and meet him before one of the biggest battles in his life. And Lord, we want to put our lives in your hands tonight, knowing that you will meet us and encourage us. You will speak to us. You will empower us, even when huge battles lie ahead, when huge challenges lie ahead. Lord, we want to be your people, called and fulfilling your purposes. So we trust you to guide us, whatever's ahead, in this week or in this month. In Jesus' name, amen.